For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
First of all, I'd like to apologize for our prolonged absence because we just couldn't figure out a time and a place where all of us could get this done together. But rest assured, we are coming back into the new year with more power and more episodes. And the same old guests again, our very own, very special Orko Bhattacharya. Welcome to the show. And also Vishnu making a return again. I hope to see more of you this year, Vishnu. We will be knocking on that door again and again.
I hope to return more also this year, so.
Yeah, so let's just start with one of the questions that I kept getting or kept seeing on Twitter, because there is a change, there's a tweak in the rules of the format of the AFC tournaments. And I personally think it is actually good for India. Maybe we can disagree on that. So, Orko, why don't you explain to the people what the change is and let's take it away.
Okay. I mean, from what I've seen is that India, right now, ninth in the West, and 17th overall, will change to a 1 plus 1 slot, which is a 1 direct and 1 to the playoff slot for the second tier competition. AFC now is introducing a 3 tiers, and India only has a slot for tier 2, does not have a slot for tier 1, the Asian Champions League. Big blow in the short term, and no slot in tier 3 as well, because India is in that middle bracket. And the top bracket gets slots in tier 1 and tier 2. This is the first time AFC is allowing them to play in tier 2 after a long time. Before, the likes of Japan and all did not have a slot in the AFC Cup. And in tier 3, the teams below India have a direct slot. So India is kind of in the middle. India will have to catch Iraq, who have a far higher coefficient than us, in order to get that final Champions League slot from the West, right? Not that the East is any less easier, right? So, having said that, I think it's generally a good ploy from the AFC to try and include as many teams as it can in its continental competitions, right? That's what they're trying to do. And my only thing is for India is that, teams won't get to test themselves in the biggest competition on the continent. And that will only have happened for 4 or 5 years, right? Starting with FC Goa, Mumbai City. And then the winner of this year's Shield versus the winner of last year's Jamshedpur FC, whoever qualifies this year. So in my books, I think it's fine for AFC to try and do this. For India, I think it gives them an aspirational value to try and improve the quality of club football totally, to try and catch teams like Iraq, like countries like Iraq, right, in the club coefficient so that they can make the jump. In the short term, I don't know if some ISL owners might look at this negatively, because they're like, there's something to play for. But I'm not sure. Continental football is still at the top of many clubs' priorities anyway. Now,
this is the same thing that I was thinking, because the Champions League, although we have done well, reasonably well, as well as you.
Is it me or is Sandeep frozen for you as well?
Sandeep frozen, yeah. Wait for it. I think. What do you think of the Champions League changing?
See, overall, it's as you said. I think it is it's a wise thing to do from AFC's point of view. But the only issue that I have with the whole thing is that one day somebody might decide that, look, we have to do really well in AFC competitions to show the world that Indian football has moved ahead. And the one obvious shortcut for that with these regulations is to remove the foreign player role in the league, the limits. So if that happens, then that would be really bad for Indian football for sure. I think there is, as far as I understand, again, there is a limit, like there is a provision that AFC is not going to keep a 4-3+1 or a 5+1 rule. It's up to you. At least that's what I hear. And if that is the case, then I don't know, maybe not now, but maybe 3 or 4 years later, somebody needs to show off to the world what Indian football has become. This is a shortcut for Indian clubs to do rather well in Asian football. But at the same time, that will be really, really, for obvious reasons, that will be really bad for Indian football.
Just thinking about it, right? I mean,
sorry, guys.
Yeah, the AFC does. I mean, if you go deep into a tournament, I think it offers significant monetary compensation for every win that you get. So that might, I mean, it doesn't make a dent on the kind of expenditure that ISL clubs incur. But still, I think might be the cost of one foreign player. Right? That is still, I think, something. Yeah, but I always felt, and I mean, some people are not going to like this, that we were too early for Asian Champions League. We're probably 5 years away from that. I know Mumbai City did well. They won two matches against Iraq Force. I mean, no, Iraq's Air Force Club, but I mean, overall, not have the quality to reach the knockout round. And some people might say, you know, we could have done it from the East. But I think that is grossly underestimating Thai, Vietnamese clubs and Malaysian clubs. I mean, and then people say Bengaluru defeated Johor. But I mean, like I said,
But if you look at it, Bengaluru lost to Johor all the time before. That was that one time where they beat them, which is a big deal. You know,
but we love to take the exception and show it as. People say India defeated Thailand 4-1. But Thailand actually made it to the round of 16. Of the Asian Cup, right?
At least now there is more opportunity for you to play teams from Japan and the other nations who didn't play in the AFC Cup before. Because we played in the South Zone where it was, you know, although Bangladesh has improved, you would think that one of the Indian team only would go through. And it's now more of an even playing field. You will get to test yourself against one of the better teams in that bracket. So I think that's great for us. We have one cup if they can make it through. So that's I like.
So India is going to play in the West again, West Zone only, right? For in the AFC Cup also.
Yeah.
So I think more. No, in the Japan, I think more from Saudi. Play. Yeah, Saudi, Qatar, these clubs.
I mean, you never know, man. Cristiano Ronaldo might come here in the end.
Right.
And now this episode we are doing is mostly for the 2023 awards that we've decided to give. Let's start with who, for you guys, best player. I'm going to ask you for one Indian player and one foreign player. Or for you, maybe you can stay from last season onwards or this current season. Vishnu, why don't we start with you?
I don't think it's a good idea to start with me for best player because I was planning out not to give any best player awards this season. So, but then, you know, that's the thing. I don't think this season you can just pick out one guy and say that guy's been better than at least best Indian player, okay, not best foreign player. But best Indian player, I don't think there's been. I think it's more like a group of 6 or 7 players who've been good on some occasions and bad on some occasions. The usual suspects will be there. But to pick out one player, I don't know. I mean, you know, somebody said Changte. Yeah, I mean, Changte has been like good for, 40% of the matches he's played. So, I don't think that he's the best Indian player. But has he been a very good Indian player among, like, keeping in mind the standard of the current standard? Yes. But the best, I don't know. I mean, there were seasons when you could so obviously point at Chhetri and say, that was the best Indian player. But I don't think there's anybody like that anymore. At least not this season.
What about you, Arko?
Like Vishnu said only, I think everybody's at half and half seasons, right? But for me, I think Mohammad Yasir just edges it. Someone said Mount Marish, and that's actually a very good shot, considering that he's one of the odd Indians actually, what do you say, contributing a high percentage of his team's attacking threat, right? If you look at mostly teams, and people point to Changte because Changte is finishing off the chances, right? But Nauram Mahesh, for example, is carrying his side's attack. He's carrying in the final third. But coming to Yasir, yeah, I think definitely Manolo, very good coach, has improved him, and final product has improved this season. Played, you know, a decent part in last season's triumph as well. So, other people also come close for me. Anwar Ali, fantastic comeback to the, you know, whole scene. You have Changte, obviously, against someone who's very improved by Des. Nauram Mahesh, yes. I mean, for me, I expected much more from Akash this season, but it hasn't been a vintage season for him. And I mean, nothing much to write about club level for many, many, many others, I feel.
You know, I want to point out two people from my end. Like you said, there are good ones and bad ones and the ones in between the through the season in terms of performances. But one is obviously Anwar Ali. To come back from all the issues that he's had and to slot in to as a starting centre-back for one of the teams in the ISL, credit to him.
And the national team.
Anwar Ali, without a doubt, is the best centre-back we have right now. At least.
Easily.
Yes. Easily. Yeah, absolute Easily. Credit to him. The other one, because I had such high hopes for him in 2013, and then he had this dip, and he's come back. Maybe his numbers don't rack up to Changte and all, but the effort and the influence he has on that team. Ali Charan, I think, is another one, probably one of the most improved players in for the last 2 years. He had injuries. But I saw him recently against Bengaluru. Because then when you see in the stadium, you realize like, you know, how much effort they put in overall, right? Ran his socks off. I think he assisted a goal as well. One of them, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah. So he'll be my one. But he's snuck on to a most improved player for me. So I'm going to ask the two of you, who's the most improved player for you guys?
For me, someone who keeps improving, somebody who keeps adding to his arsenal is Apuia, I think. Again, seems to have stepped up another notch, right? And generally seems to be the player who India can count on at the international scene also. Because far too often you've seen the three in the middle, whoever's playing, and they've had stellar club seasons also. At international level, they've always gone missing. I mean, for me, my biggest grouse is with Aniruddh Thapa. Right, somebody who is very good at the club level, but maybe that sort of consistency is missing at the international level. Well, Liston dip has come at the wrong time, right? Supposed to kick on even more from last season was very good, right? But again, this season the decision making has somewhere let him down, you know, and let Juan also down in the process. So yeah, I mean, for me it has to be.
Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I think the obvious name here would be Changte when it comes to improving. But I know this is a year-end thing. But if you look at just the last couple of months, one player that we've been seeing a lot of positive signs from is Nanda. And it was obvious. For me, Nanda is a player that I started seeing from when he was playing Chennai, the CFA division, CFA senior division. So, way before he even came to I-League. So, right from that time, you could tell that the talent is there. Like, this guy has something that a lot of other people don't have. But I think there was a period in time when we all thought it was just going to be like the countless other talented players that India have had. He's not going to, like, basically make use of it. Maybe his attitude isn't right. Maybe he doesn't have the right people around him, whatever may be the case. I think a couple of years ago, maybe 2019, that was around the time when informally a bunch of us decided that, okay, he's not going to come good. Let's make our peace with that. But it's been really encouraging to see some kind of improvement from him. So if he can kick on, I think there is a definite chance that, I mean, for any Indian player, fulfilling their talent is a big statement and a bit weird statement as well. But he can come good, let's say that.
So we missed out on the best foreign player earlier. So let's start in that. I mean, let's get
foreign,
into that.
Foreign player for me is easy. It has to be Greg Stewart. I don't
know. Greg Stewart only, I think. Yeah. Unanimous, I think.
Yeah. No, we all agree Greg Stewart. But since he said Greg Stewart, you can't say Greg Stewart. I also can't say Greg Stewart.
I mean, for me, it was okay. I love what El Khayati is doing in the league right now. He's doing some crazy, crazy shit at Chennai. And just that the team around him isn't as great as him. But
you have to bring Luna into the curve.
I was going to say Luna because I think. Because, he may not be getting
the carrying Kerala losses right now, I think.
Yeah, but he's carrying the team. And I think Clayton Silva is carrying East Bengal also in terms of productivity at the far end. So
Lesko is somebody who's not really talked about because he not really had the most stable of defensive partners. So been revolving door, even with the other foreigner, for example, Victor Mongil. I mean, not necessarily as good as you would like a top four centre back to be, right? So I think Lesko, the other Indian, Hormi Palm or whoever it is, Jigson's player at time, I think Lesko's been massively, massively underrated, I think.
So that's our foreign, this going to continue. Most improved team.
It's a good shout. Somebody said.
Also, yeah. So most improved team. Most improved and most, the team that's gone backwards together.
Most improved team. Hyderabad Mumbai City haven't necessarily improved. There's their
problem.
Wherever they
were. Teams that were doing really well are doing really well.
I mean, if you look at East Bengal, because I think they've totaled the number of wins from their last two seasons, I think. 3-1. And this year, they're 4. So, they've totaled the number of wins from their last two.
I think Odisha, like Vignesh said.
Odisha went from somewhere mid-table-ish to top. From bottom of mid-table to top of mid-table. I don't know if you would say that's a big improvement.
Yeah, fair enough. And what about you, Vishnu?
I don't know. I mean, you guys have called out all the obvious candidates. If you look at the early results, I think Kerala also should be in the conversation because this season they have done reasonably well. I mean... So, I don't know if it's the most improved thing, but I think they are one of the teams that have definitely improved. So,
but in I-League, I think Gokulam has gone back.
In I-League, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, they've gone through, what, 3 coaches already? That's not...
Yeah, they've actually gone back. Obviously, losing that coach, Vincenzo, is always going to be a trouble. Next guy, they didn't really click, I guess. And now the third one. So, I think they are the most obvious one for a club that has gone backwards. It's the one that I'll take. And now you can say the others.
Because it was really obvious that to a lot of us that they were going to just win and get automatic promotion to the ISL. But now it's like...
I think Mohammedan. Somebody said Mohammedan. I think that's a level go with. They finished second. And I think Gokulam's not totally out of it.
No, they're... Yeah. You're not really out of it, right? Oh. 2-3 wins and you're right back in.
But I think Mohammedan, I mean, because of seeing the I-League, you know, just in terms of play, right? It's not clicked at all. Like, Sudeva took their only point of the season of Mohammedan. I saw the match and, like, it's just not clicking at all. I mean, Gokulam, I think one or two results have gone, like, otherwise they're not too bad. I mean... They lost to Srinidhi, and which is like fair enough because Srinidhi right now is the strongest candidate to get promoted. So I mean, I disagree on the Gokulam, but they've retained the I-League, which is a very difficult thing to do. So
that is also this year only, no? Fair enough.
So, I mean, for me, most, if you say best club all around men's and women's football, they've retained the IWL. Despite the IWL getting stronger with the entry of more teams building seriously and all. So, and they've won the I-League. So, retained the I-League. So, I mean, hats off to them, I think.
Yeah, no, I was just talking about the season. Like you said, it's like one of those, what is that thing called? Some bias, right? Recency bias.
Recency bias. Yeah. I mean, Gokulam did retain the I-League, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, last year. Yeah, but look, IWL, they basically built a team for the Asian Cup and then ended up, you know, having almost all the national team players. So, I think... they spend the most amount of money, so I assume you have to win that title. I mean, that's what I would look at.
I think this year, even though there are others who are spending comparatively, they still win the title this year. That is my prediction for this year's IWL. And I mean, with Gokulam, I disagree. I think even though they think they got all the national team players, there are national team players on the current national team that are not there. Because, I mean, Gokulam somehow picked the right national teamers. Even this year, they've gone at very strategic decisions. Like, people who I think should not have been there have been removed, right? They've had I think budget has slightly gone down because now with the entry of ISL clubs, I think women's transfer market has kind of exploded, right? So, they've again made very strategic choices this year. So, yeah, I think something's cooking at Gokulam, both men's and women's football.
Vishnu?
About the team that has like gone back the most?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think you should stop asking me last week.
Northeast United.
Yeah, I mean...
definitely gone back, right? In terms
how
of...
How did gone back? It's last... I mean, where did you finish last year?
It's, yeah. But their way they are playing and the points they've taken is absolutely... Like... I don't know. I mean, they played well against Mohan Bagan, but otherwise didn't see a single performance where you thought, yeah, first game against BFC, maybe they could have taken something out of it.
Right.
BFC is another team that has gone even backwards than last year.
Would you say BFC has gone backwards? I wouldn't.
BFC is stagnating.
They're already pretty bad.
But when you're stagnating, the rest of them are going forward. Yeah. Odisha has improved. I think Jamshedpur had an amazing collapse.
I think Jamshedpur is the one that is
collapsed. Amazing.
Jamshedpur definitely is a candidate. Yeah.
Jamshedpur is the one that collapsed, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty.
BFC, I think, I don't know. I mean,
considering this.
From one of the best run clubs in India to one of the, I mean, not so bad. I think the problem is not with the players or the. It goes higher than that.
Focus is clearly shifted to Delhi Capitals. It's not. I mean, I was talking to somebody and they pretty much confirmed what I was thinking. They said, you know, listen, it's a dead property, man. Like, nobody except those 3,000 people are going to come watch us, right? Anyway, incurring tons of losses. It's an NPA. It's an honest
opinion. All the stuff that JSW is into sports wise. BFC is the probably the
thing. Worst return of investment now.
They won't get
but the probably what gave them the most amount of publicity also.
Gave them the springboard. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
But right now it is the old family member who is a liability. That's it.
But
right.
Even then they spent cash this year to bring in Roy Krishna, to bring in Javi. And still, if they have not improved from... losing Clayton, what Clayton has gone on to do.
Yeah.
You sometimes you have to look at that as well.
Yeah. And you see, considering that they are an established club and East Bengal was in turmoil because of change of owners and, you know, Northeast has always had the lowest budget, right? They have pretty much invested more when you compare to the teams in their vicinity, right? So, yeah, I mean, recruitment is also... bad, obviously. So,
Okay. Now let's look at the coach of the year. I mean, I guess there is only one or two candidates.
Why?
He's going right first itself.
No. Last time we said Vishnu last, so this time I go Vishnu first.
No, go on. Let's go.
No. Okay. I mean, for me, I'll just leave Manolo for somebody. I'm going to say Des Buckingham.
I'm going to take him. You could take somebody else.
Difficult.
Let's look at I-League.
I mean, Vincenzo, just because of what he did. Because I-League, most of what he did with Gokulam came in 2022. He has to be a candidate. I mean, what they did last season in the I-League is something incredible, right?
Huh.
21 game unbeaten run, very easy thing.
And
even in like his whatever stint he has had so far with Northeast has been pretty bad. But beating 80 game Mohan Bagan with that, like literally the worst squad in the league, is also something that you can add to his achievements for the year. But I think he has to be in conversation just for what he did with Kokalam.
I think I'm going to say Des, because Manolo is the obvious answer, right? What he's done with that team, with that budget.
Somebody said it's too much.
No, they're joking. They're all pretty much joking here.
I think what Des has done, improving the players that he has in his disposal, and now currently unbeaten as well, I think that deserves a shout out as well. Probably 1B to the 1A, that is Manolo.
It's been Des and Manolo only.
But like you mentioned, Orko, Ivan Vukmanovic, I think that is a great shout. Maybe because of these two, you don't think about it. But that this is a man who's overperforming with that team to a certain extent.
Yeah.
He's
getting
the best out of the forest.
I think the truth of Vasquez is coming out now. Yeah. Right. The truth of Vasquez. It was clear he was overperforming last year also. This guy is a guy who's just getting the most out of his...
Absolutely. And his substitutions are great. His foreigners.
No second season syndrome. I thought he'd have a second season syndrome. Right? Des, we knew, was good. Des, last year also, he showed glimpses. We knew that Mumbai City, they were going to bring in reinforcements. Once they got Stewart, we're like, yeah. But despite that, Des has them playing some lovely football. I think Kerala mixed it up at times. They've not been really vintage, you know, top ISL material when it comes to a pitch. But he has a team functioning in a way, you know, they're very defensively very solid, right? When it comes to Des and Manolo, we're thinking of more attacking teams, more flamboyant sides, right?
I think Manolo is a very good defensive coach.
Yeah, I mean, because they have so many 1-0s this season, right? But so is Ivan, for that matter.
Ivan, I think one thing that I really want to appreciate with him is that he has invested a lot of energy and time into getting the fans on his side. Which is not something a lot of ISL coaches tend to do. They just
they tend to disregard.
They just tend to go off.
Yeah.
But if you look at top level European football, a lot of coaches do this. I mean, they play to the fan base. And I think that is also why Ivan is one of the most beloved coach for the Kerala Blasters fan base, which is not that easy to please. So he's already like a cult figure there. And I think that's something that I've seen him, I've noticed him doing differently. And I think stuff like that needs to be appreciated because, you know, rather than just coming in here, doing a short-term job, having fun for a couple of seasons and then going off, somebody is actually trying to engage with the fan base, building it to an extent. I think that sort of a job deserves to be appreciated as well.
Oh, sorry. Someone's mentioning Bibiana Fernandez. What do you think?
No, I mean...
Because they are under 17?
Coach of the year? Not so. Not exactly.
For what?
Yeah.
For what? Like, I mean, that's exactly the question, right? So, I mean, but if there is one impressive Indian coach, it has to be Anthony Andrews. It has to be... Because, again, retained a title, which was not so easy to retain. Had to win every match to do it. And, again, team plays really good football, right? I mean, he'd have loved to be head coach, but he was then offered the assistant coach's role in the men's team. And I thought he had done enough work, good work at the club to deserve. But Fran Bonnet is also pretty good. Somebody who should have been nominated I-League coach of the year last year to do so well at Rajasthan United and to really build the foundation for this year with that budget. So, I mean, they made a very good choice there also.
Okay. Now, this is the last question, or maybe second last. Let's see. What is the thing that you want from Indian football next in 2023? It can be a club, it can be a country, it can be any league, it can be whatever. So, take it from here.
Promotion to be guaranteed. And relegation.
Promotion is guaranteed. I spoke to people that is done and dusted.
I'm hearing, but see, I mean, we've gone through an era where there is a press release 1 week and it's reversed the next week. So, I mean,
this one, pakka, that is going to happen. They will also probably do as much as possible to help them also, whichever I League club is coming up to this, because the operational expense is significantly higher in ISL. Mm. So whatever they need, I think there will be a lot of help there. So that part is there. I think promotion is done and dusted. But what about you?
I think one of the great injustices for me of 2022 was what happens with the Asians women's club competitions in Gokulam, Kerala. And what I wanted 2023 is for that to be rectified, because I think that is one competition where an Indian club has a chance of doing really well. Because the gap is not as much as it is in men's football. So I kind of hope the Federation won't go and get themselves banned again in time for this. Again, with the I think with what Infantino said during the World Cup about a global women's club competitions coming up, I think this is a fantastic chance for
it's a great carrot, right? It's a great carrot for Indian women's football, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I think that is one thing I'm really looking forward to this year. So, somebody was saying Asian Cup, I mean, India can fluke all its way to maybe the first knockout phase, but I don't know why people don't understand India is not of the standard to be in the 8 best teams in Asia. I mean, luck can only take you so far, right?
They're not, yeah.
So my one that I want to ask is about, my wish was that ISL give a break for the team to prepare, because you are going to get thulled there if you don't prepare. India is not a team like we saw in the World Cup where they all landed the week before and then started playing really good football. We need 2 or 3 weeks to actually sit and prepare. And we have the examples in the recent past only, right? All the games that we played against the Middle Eastern teams, we have struggled. Now, obviously, last time by whatever they did, India's number ranking was high enough that they had worse ranked teams in the group. This time it will not work like
that. That is one thing that I want to say, because I think a lot of people, I think there's going to be major disappointment when the Asian Cup comes, because a lot of people are going to compare this to the last Asian Cup. That is not something that should be compared to that, because we were in pot two, now we are in pot three. Mm-hmm. There we were the second, we were in pot two and we still didn't get out of the knockout phase. Mm. We came close, no denying that. But here, pot three is, it's virtually impossible. It's virtually impossible because, I mean, obviously this is the team that has held Qatar. Stuff can happen, but it's going to take a miracle, right?
But
stuff can happen on the day.
Yeah, ISL has to take a break. They have to train 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Otherwise, it will just be very bad. Like, at least you go
there.
2 weeks
is common. 2 weeks is common. Stimach is like I want 7 to 8 weeks. He wants 2 months.
Give them 3 weeks. That has to be given. I don't know when it's going to happen exactly. I'm hearing rumors November, December also now.
December. Yeah, it's 12 months from now. It's December. It's 12 months.
So, but someone said November also. One of the players I was talking to, they heard rumors that it could be November also. But whatever, whenever
November,
it is.
If it's November, then it's just...
If it's November, yeah. You can push the start of the season.
Of the season way back to December. Yeah. Right, so,
I hope that is one thing that happened. But I also wanted to ask this to Orko, because he is someone who broke the news. We have a situation where one of the worst things can happen to a footballer in Indian football happened in the women's team, and the coach continues to be part of the system in some way, shape or form. Is there any move towards justice in that? Because when we interviewed Ranjit Bajaj, he said FIR is filed, things are moving in that direction. So before we wrap up, I want you to have a word on that.
I think it's concerning.
I'm only asking because you and Abresh Mena put your neck out there to write the story. And nothing's come of it.
Guys, the story wouldn't even be out and nobody would even be talking about this.
People are
being hushed out like
teasers on it. Not sure, man. Like, I mean, he's consulting. That's I think 100% that is there. We know that players are pretty close to him. We know that he is like kind of a father figure to a lot of players also. So, a lot of players, and not just Sethu, I think. Many other clubs, I think his players have gone there. So, he's there. I don't think the court proved it. It was conclusively proved. I mean, they did say an FIR was filed and all of that. But I think unlike the what happened in the US where people testified, we need people to come up and testify, right? I've always said this, there are too many murky things, and there is a reason that maybe people are not pursuing the case. Maybe he has stuff that they don't want coming out, right? I heard stuff like...
I heard some rumor around the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. So he has, he's claiming a few things, and it is really worrying the, I mean, powers yes, that be. Yeah. Also, like I said, apparently he produced a video call from one of the players in court saying, you know, Alex, like my father and all of that, that this happened. So it's pretty murky. Like I said, it's not a straightforward case. It's not like the other parties involved are pretty, you know, crystal clear themselves. So that makes the case much more difficult.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't reveal what we heard as a rumor, but it does make a significant difference because it was set in confidence and stuff like that. But it does make a significant difference in how this case would be perceived. I think
I put out a tweet about that also, saying that that is that one of the determining factor in the case, right? So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I just want to move on, right? What a terrible year it's been for Indian women's football. I mean, crazy. We start off, then our team at home, which has the least traveling to do, gets COVID, right? I mean, of all the countries in the Asian Cup, right? So one country that should not get COVID. I mean, that's us. Then IWL, so many things heard about, you know, organizational problems and all of that. I mean, let's not go into all of that. Then you have the under 17, and I mean, it was on the expected lines, right? Yeah. And people, you know, people try to patronize saying, you know, oh, but the boys also lost. But I mean, sorry, the manner of the loss is way too different. I mean, we didn't manage to cross the half line at the three matches in the Women's World Cup. Like, it was really bad at that level. I mean, we can say, you know, that the players should have done better, but it's no fault of the players. Really,
By the third game, a lot of people on social media, on news channels, on whatever, were pretending that an under 17 World Cup was not even going on. So that tells you a lot.
I think there was some enthusiasm for the US match. And because Brazil. And I think, did barely a tremble in the country that a World Cup was going on. And then obviously the biggest, the worst news for Indian women's football is what we just discussed. So it's been a pretty shitty year for Indian women's football. And, you know, I mean, the audacity to have like girls football day on 1/1/2023, instead of fixing the 100 fucking issues that I'm sorry to use the word, that are plaguing Indian women's football, right? To think one theme song and one some flashy festival could cover up for the nonsense that's happening. Like, it's atrocious. And it's tone deaf.
That has been the problem with Indian football, right? Right from the start. They always try to build the roof before they build the basement. So, and not in women's football, not in men's football do we have a basement right now. But people are trying to build up the other parts of the building, and it's only bound to collapse. So I don't see why we don't learn from our mistakes.
People took the wrong takeaway from the whole Asian Cup episode. They said, you know, the team could have qualified for the World Cup. Oh, you know, you guys robbed us of a World Cup opportunity. I'm like, that's crazy talk, guys. That's crazy talk. They still would have had to win three more matches in order to just, you know, against. And they drew 0-0 against Iran, which was by statistically the worst team in the tournament, right? Conceded 12 goals in its other two. And you're saying India would have taken, you know, 4 points of those two other matches. I mean, like I said, crazy talk is rampant, right? Objective analysis is sorely missing, right? And now the standard formula seems to be, you know, what do you think about insert player's name and then get an engagement, right? So, I mean, my one wish is for more critical analysis in the upcoming year, but I mean, that's a crazy wish.
My one wish is going to be people in Indian football, whether it be fans, whether it be administrators, having a freaking sense of reality. I mean, come on. Don't say stuff like we are going to be there in 4 years, 8 years, 12 years. No, you're not. Unless, you know, they expand the World Cup to include where India is right now, or they expand the World Cup to include 12 Asian teams and somehow India manages to get into that 12 by some stroke of luck. No, and it's not going to happen because you guys are not doing anything to improve the level of Indian football, which has to start at the very bottom. That area is still being ignored except for a few people who are running around because of sheer passion. And as Arka would tell you, those people have been, they have to meet with hurdles after hurdles just because people in power try to make life difficult for them. So what is the, I mean, you're not doing anything. The few people who try to make a difference, those isolated incidents, you try to make life difficult for them. So what World Cup are you talking about? You're not going to get to any World Cup, not in this half of the century. Because if you are going to get to 2048 or 2046, I don't know, I don't remember which one is the World Cup here. But if you are to get to a World Cup before 2050, you should have started working on it right now. And knowing what goes on in India right now, I can confidently say that we are nowhere near started working on it. So,
no, absolutely. I think ultimately what FIFA wants to do is to basically include India in the whole shebang. What they'll do is they'll do a second tier World Cup, and these guys are so greedy. Yeah. These guys are so greedy. First, they're talking about World Cup having every 2 years, right? Basically, what they'll do is they might have a second tier competition, a World Cup B, right? And then they'll be now, and we'll also claim we qualified, right, to the World Cup. So, yeah. But just before we go, right, I just want to just touch on this very briefly. India currently in pot 4, by the way. India's not even pot 3. India's in pot 4 currently, right? The draw is... When is the draw? Does anybody know?
6 months.
No, before. I don't know. Sure.
Six months. The tournament.
Yeah, yeah. India's the top of pot 4. And pot 2, we have to basically... get past one of the members of this pot in order to make it any further. Iraq, United Arab Emirates, Oman, China, Syria, Vietnam. That is pot 2. Pot 1 is all the World Cup teams. Pot 1 is the World Cup teams. I forget that. Pot 2 is this. So
I think they are looking at a, regardless of, especially if a stimatch doesn't get enough time, we are looking at a repeat of the 2011 Asian Cup.
Yes, on that sour note, I think we will wrap up this episode here. So sorry, guys, that we couldn't take all your questions because we are a little pressed for time. And we will also have Naveen back as the host, who is a much better host than I am, so that he can also keep tab of
these people. Yeah, you're very good.
Not really.
Never underestimate yourself.
I'm overestimating Naveen.
Okay. I hope all these jibes make Naveen recover quicker and get back to our hosting duties. And we'll also have more episodes this time. Des Buckingham will come on our show. It's already recorded, so that's
true. Yeah.
We spoke about all the things we spoke here, Changte and the Pooja and everything, so you guys can enjoy that. I think it might be more of an audio episode than a video episode because the video was not really great quality. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, we'll get to that. Vishnu, Arko, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Happy to be here.
Yes, we will be calling you back. I think we can do a show after the Lakshya Scheme 2.0 comes out in a week's time.
Yeah, Can't wait for it.
Okay, see you guys then. Everybody have fun, enjoy the game, subscribe, do that good stuff, and help us keep this channel successful and alive.